Peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Finally, at the end of 40 years, they were all dead, save just a few who had been faithful. The generation of complaining cowards were left one by one in their graves in the wilderness until God brought a new generation to the precipice of the promised land. He had brought them out of slavery in Egypt, redeeming them miraculously by means of miracles that at the same time confirmed his power over all people and also wrought devastating destruction on their Egyptian masters. What should have been a triumphant exodus from captivity and a procession into the land that God had promised devolved quickly into complaints about the same meals day after day, and fears that the current occupants of Canaan would prove too strong for the Lord, who had just previously left the whole Egyptian army at the bottom of the Red Sea. But how quickly they began to worry. How easily fears about the future caused them to forget the faithfulness of their Lord in the past. So he sentenced them to 40 years of wandering through the wilderness until they wore out not only the sole of their sandals, but their grumbling voices and their lives as well. 40 years is a long time in a human lifetime. Sometimes it takes a generation or two or three or four for the Lord's anger to dissipate. But he shows mercy to 1,000 generations, more than the span of all human history, of those who love him and who do what he commands. 40 years is ancient in terms of the flash-in-the-pan megachurches that spring up around the charismatic personality of a pastor and fade into relics for the dustbin of history when the pastor moves on, retires, or gets himself snared in a scandal. But even in the Missouri Synod, where congregations all around us have celebrated 150th anniversaries a decade ago, 40 years just brings one to the early stages of adolescence. Not even old enough yet to be given a seat at the adult table. And in the annals of church history, of the congregations of the Lord's eternally elected, the church of the apostles, of the fathers, of the great ecumenical councils, of the martyrs, the church that is preparing to celebrate her 2,000th anniversary, 40 years old, is just a nursing infant. So what are we doing today? We're celebrating the particulars. God is a God, after all, not of generalities, but of specifics. We're honoring our fathers in the faith, who over 40 years ago chose their love of God and his word over the bond of friendship or family ties or a history of affiliation with their congregation. When the leadership of Faith Lutheran Church decided to go the way of the world and reject the authority of the Word of God, four families decided to leave. But they wanted a place to gather together, to hear the Word purely preached and receive the sacraments rightly administered. For a time, they met in houses with seminary profs to serve them with God's Word and sacraments. For a second season, they met in the basement of a bank with a synod bureaucrat to bring the gifts of God to them. Finally, 40 years ago, they received recognition from the church body they were once a part of, that they were now a mission of that church to the people of O'Fallon, Fairview Heights, Scott Air Force Base, and the surrounding Metro East. They invested in this place, this once unincorporated plot of farmland on uninteresting, at that time, Old Collinsville Road, into which they dug their shovels and invested their sweat, their tears, and their dollars, has become this, a flourishing outpost of God's eternal word and his ongoing sacraments. Here, in this building, set at a crooked angle to the road in order to distinguish it from the church building to the south, at this altar, from this pulpit, in these pews, all purchased from the Endicott Church Furniture Company in Warsaw, Indiana, for the last 40 years, God has crossed the breach between heaven and earth, abrogated the lapse between today and tomorrow, the present and the future, to do his work here. He has delivered his gift of faith to his people. He has exorcised demons in the city of O'Fallon at this baptismal font. He has fed the people of Fairview Heights who knelt at this rail to receive from his altar the medicine of immortality. Here, in this place, is an oasis in the wasteland of the world, an outpost in the wilderness of secularism, a fertile colony of the future in the desert of our modern age. When the Israelites left Egypt, all they had to go on was a word, the promise of a future they could neither see nor imagine. And when the Canaanites looked menacing and fierce, their confidence in that word faltered. What good was an unseen promise when the adversaries were real men with real armor, real weapons, real muscles, and a real desire to keep their cities and their houses their own? In rejecting the word, then, the Israelites received from the Lord what they feared from the Canaanites, defeat. The slow progression of years, not the ferocity of the foreign foes, would do them in one by one. Maybe this was a hard-learned lesson the synagogue official from Capernaum had earned in the school of experience. Or maybe the Holy Spirit revealed it to him in the middle of this interaction with Jesus. Who knows? When he came to Jesus, he was a little bit pushy, to say the least. First, he asked Jesus to come and heal his son, who was at the brink of death. He didn't have time for niceties or for a long run-up to the petition. He certainly did not have time for a sermon from Jesus. So he comes back after Jesus rebukes him. Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. No, not now. Later, Jesus, maybe. Sir, come down before my child dies. He's done asking. And so what then did this official from the temple do? He believed. He went. He had nothing to go on except the word of Jesus. What happened to all of his bluster and all of his insistence? Jesus gave him only a word, and he believed. Here then, in this man's going away from Jesus, with, as Martin Fransman, the author of our first hymn, preached on this day, only a word in his pocket, in this example is all the history of Bethany. What did they have? Those families who left the safety of the congregation that they knew in hopes of finding the truth of the Word of God preserved elsewhere. When they stuck their spades into 5 acres of farmland with the goal of planting there a new kind of seed, what did they have to go on? Just the Word. They risked everything for the Word. The Word of God, taught freely, confessed faithfully, preached purely, was all they had to go on. Your temptation today is like the Israelites, to doubt the Word, to believe your eyes more than your ears. The foes look fierce and invincible. Our fighting men are few, and our weapons are puny. Where did those first members of Bethany go? Or their children, or their grandchildren? Did the Word fail to keep them here? What of our friends who have gone to neighboring congregations? Did they find a better Word there? What happened to the preschool? Did parents decide that the Word was not enough to prepare their children for kindergarten? What will this congregation look like at her 80th anniversary, or her 60th, or her 45th, or her 41st, or tomorrow? The Israelites were given a sure and certain promise that the Lord was bringing them into a land which He promised He would surely give to them, no matter the military prowess of its current inhabitants. And He did. The official from Capernaum heard this certain word: "Your son lives." No matter the severity of the diagnosis, no matter his nearness to breath or the fewness of breath, his nearness to death or the fewness of breaths that he has left, your son lives. And he did. The church has this promise from her Lord: the gates of hell will never prevail against her. No matter the persecution or the oppression, no matter the false doctrine, no satanic all-out assault on the Lord's church will ever gain even an inch of ground. But congregations have no such promise. Nor do synods, or denominations, or countries, or families. Congregations come and go. Church bodies wax and wane. But the word that they proclaim is eternal. Verbum Domini manet in aeternum. The word of the Lord endures forever. Forever. There are no anniversaries in forever. The Word simply is. It does what it says. It creates. It forgives. It sustains. It never ceases. This alone, the Word, is your source of confidence. Yesterday, at the seventh hour, his servants told him the fever left him. And the father knew this was the hour when Jesus said to him, "Go, your son lives." And he believed, and he converted his entire household. He staked everything on just that word from Jesus. The word not only spoke his son back to life, but it spoke the official to life as well. Faith comes by hearing. And he heard, and he received the gift of faith, a resurrection greater than his son's resuscitation. 40 years ago, your forefathers did the same. They could not have seen this day. They could not have known whether their plan would succeed or fail. They did not have the 40th anniversary of their endeavor in mind when they set out on their own. But they had the word. And they knew that, Should everything else fail, the word would not. He could not. They heard and believed, and they invested in the ongoing proclamation of the word. The word never fails. Not the written word, the scriptures, not the preached word, nor the incarnate word. The word made flesh, Jesus Christ, succeeded perfectly and purely. The word himself, who was with God and who is God, through whom all things were created. The word by which light was cleaved from darkness. The word who became man to redeem men. Who was silenced in his death and vindicated in his resurrection. Jesus, the Word, does what he says. He is the Word which endures forever. He is the Word, and his Word is for you. You have tremendous promises to go on. To step forward into tomorrow, trusting faithfully and completely. Baptism now saves you. Whoever's sins you forgive are forgiven. My flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. This is my body. This is my blood. Your Son lives. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. I am coming soon. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. I will open your graves and raise you from your graves. I love you. You are mine. No one is able to snatch you from the Father's hand. These are words and promises to you from Jesus, the Word of God himself. And they endure. They don't end. They are true, and they are yours. This Word endures forever. And it is worth staking everything on, worth risking everything to receive. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.